This is Steve Coleman with your Daily Inspiration. I'm looking at John chapter 20, and there's some blessings in here that I'd like to share in this Daily Inspiration. In verse 21, Jesus has come. You know, we've been through the crucifixion. We've been through the burial. We've been through the discovery of the empty tomb. And you know, here are the disciples, and you know, beloved, I can't imagine being in that place of so much intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ that we would walk with him day by day by day, and then suddenly Christ is no more. And worse yet, suddenly he's crucified, you know, and he's buried. And then, you know, the tomb is empty. And so, beloved, they did the right thing. They gathered themselves together, and I don't know why they locked the door. Maybe it was for fear of the soldiers. Maybe it was for fear of the Jews. Maybe they didn't want to be bothered, disturbed. Did they know to pray? You know, were they simply in shock and mourning? And I'm thinking that at least one thing is clear that was in their hearts was that there was no peace. There was no rest, no settled assurance that God has everything in control. And so here we have these disciples together. Now some aren't there. Thomas wasn't there, for example. And it says here in John chapter 20, let's read in verse 19. It says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and he said unto them, Peace be unto you." And so as Christ comes and meets our need, and the need of that hour was the settled peace of the resurrection of Christ. You know, they didn't know. They simply didn't know. And he said, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, I mean, we know this is God. We know, I think they know to expect supernatural things, but what an amazing thing to look upon the crucified body, the animated crucified body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. And they could see those holes, you know. They could see the hole in his side. And he showed them these things. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you." Now, I find it interesting here that the next thought that he had is, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And I know here in the Saturday morning Bible study, I think it was several weeks ago, I was looking at some of the things that Jesus experienced and that he repeated for the disciples. And here is one of them, that God has sent him, and so now he is sending us. What did God send him to do? And that was to bring redemption to man. And so what are we being sent to do? The same thing. Can we do that as a part of another kingdom? And the answer is no. We have to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, how did Jesus get sent? He got sent, first of all, not as a glorious conquering king, right? And that's not how we should be sent. We're sent in the same way as my Father, in the same way as my Father hath sent me, so am I sending you. Oh, beloved, the point here is that as God hath sent us, as God has sent Jesus in humility, in as a child, that's how we are to go. And might we have a problem with peace? Possibly. But he said, "My peace I give to you." You know, peace be unto you. Now, let me keep reading here. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, beloved, with the coming of the Holy Ghost, what's happened here is Jesus has fulfilled something which he said earlier. And he said earlier that he said, it's expedient that I go. For if I go, I will see, then my Father will send the Comforter, and he will come and bring comfort. And so I don't know why we would think that we can walk a Christian life, why we would think we can go where we're sent to go, why we can serve God. Well, how do we think we can do any of this without this enabling power of God dwelling within us, which we call the Holy Ghost, that God manifests in many different forms, and one of those forms is that we have allowed ourselves to be a holy people, not of this world, sanctified. You know, I think the daily inspiration from a few days ago was to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be made holy. Now, as you look at the word sanctified, it is the same root as the word holy. And, you know, who is holy but God? So as we are separated for the service of God, then we are holy like God, you see. So when we are sanctified, we are a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of God will dwell within the believer who is set apart, who is wholly dedicated to be a holy person, a holy dwelling place for the presence of Almighty God. Now, one that has the Holy Ghost. Now, beloved, I'm just going to be so bold as to say that it's possible to profess to be a Christian and not understand what it is to have the indwelling Christ, you know. It's valid to call the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit as Christ, as the Father. You know, they're the three are one. And so what is it to try to walk out the Christian life, to try to be a Christian without this enabling power of the Holy Ghost? It's got to be a frustration. It's got to be a continual failure and a hopeless state and shaking your head and saying, I, that which I would like to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, those things I do, and, you know, who's going to deliver me from all of this, right? And the answer is that, you know, Christ needs to breathe on us and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, what does that actually mean? And I think what it means is that those that come and they lay down and they give up and they commit to Christ, and then he says, okay, now I can enable you. Now I can give you this enabling power. But you know, beloved, the power of the Spirit of God, there's two things. We mustn't grieve away by sin. And so often, and I just know this, I'm speaking from experience, so often, beloved, it's so easy to sin with my lips or with my mind. And then later on, you know, God is so gracious, and, oh, the Spirit of God was grieved away. And now no longer am I doing things in the Spirit, but in the flesh. But God, our God, is so gracious, you know, and he says, what about that thought? You know, what about that word? And oh, beloved, let us repent of it right away. Give it up, and let it be that we can be cleansed and washed and holy again, a fit temple for the living God. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. And then out of that, you know, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, beloved, imagine again a gathered group of believers like that are just one in the spirit, one in the surrender to the Lordship of Christ, you know. Now, let me read the next verse here. It says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, beloved, we know that only God can forgive sin through Christ. That's how it happens. That's how it's done. It's through the blood of Christ. If it was any other way, if there was a way that sins could be remitted by this group of apostles, then Jesus' prayer would have been answered when he prayed in the garden and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Beloved, I absolutely guarantee you this is 100% logic, that if there had been another way that God could have granted that men could come to salvation, then Christ would not have gone to the cross. But the only way that God has designed, there is only one way, and that is by our faith in the blood shed on Calvary's cross, by our surrender to the Lordship of Christ, and by the indwelling filling of the Holy Spirit, right? So only God can forgive sin. So, even when Jesus, when they said to him, who can forgive sin but God only, Jesus didn't disagree with them. He didn't correct them, right? So here we have this verse, and it says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Beloved, what this is saying is, you as one who is filled with the Holy Ghost, you know whose sins are retained and whose sins are remitted. You know, and beloved, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a set of spiritual eyes that pierce right in the same way as God sees right into the soul of a man. Those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, God, Jesus knew that. He breathed on them and he said, now you receive the Holy Ghost and you too will know whose sins are forgiven. You will know, the Spirit will bear witness that they are a child of God or not. And beloved, that is real. That is so real that God gives us that ability to understand, to peer right into what's inside the heart and to have that spirit witness. And so that's what this verse simply means is you receive the Holy Ghost, you will have an eyesight, you will have a vision, you will have an understanding of people's hearts. Well, I pray that if you have not been thrilled by the concept of the Spirit of God, if it seemed like you could get along in your Christian life without the Spirit of God, I pray that based on these few little verses here and this little bit of exhortation, that you would reconsider and come to the place where at all cost, by any means, whatever is necessary, give up of the sin which hinders you from receiving the Spirit of God. You don't have to tell me, you don't have to tell anyone, but you have to tell God. You have to do business with God and receive the Holy Spirit. So God bless you.